listening to The Terrific Teacherpreneur, a podcast for teachers looking to grow a successful online business. Your host, Alex, was able to transform her Teachers Pay Teachers store from a small side hustle into a profitable full-time business. She now helps other teachers do the same. Listen along for actionable tips and helpful wisdom about business and marketing as a teacherpreneur. Here's your host, Alex.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Terrific Teacherpreneur. Today, I have a guest on the podcast. I'm super excited to be talking to Anna from Anna D SLP. So she sells on Teachers Pay Teachers. She's an SLP, but she's also someone who uses Instagram really, really well and is able to leverage that along with her blog to grow a large email list in a really short amount of time. So let's get started. Hey, Anna, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Oh, that's awesome. So I want to dive straight in and ask you to introduce yourself to the audience so they can get to know you. So could you tell us a little bit about your background in education and being an SLP and a little bit about your store and your business in general? That would be awesome.
Right on. So my name is Anna. I'm also known as Anna D SLP, and I've been a speech language pathologist since 2008. I started my Teachers Pay Teachers store in 2019, and I kind of specialize in play-based materials for preschoolers. Yeah.
Well, that's so nice and brief. You're just like straight to the point. Perfect. I love it. Yeah. It's going to be so good asking you questions. Okay. So the first one I wanted to ask you was just a little bit about your experience and your sort of background with email marketing, you know, like what platform you use and like sort of when you started and how you're going with it. We'd just love to hear a bit of background about email marketing for you.
All right. So I just started with email marketing in the summer of 2020. I had listened to a variety of different podcasts and done some reading and really realized how beneficial email marketing really is to all businesses, but particularly Teachers Pay Teachers sellers. So I use Wix for all of my kind of marketing. So my email is hosted through them. My website is hosted through them. It's kind of like an all-stop or all-in-one stop. And I like that because I'm not tech savvy. And it also allows me to have like my freebie library on there, my blog, and all of that is just kind of in one place. So that works for me.
Yeah. I love that. That's awesome because people always kind of, I just assume you might say one of those ones like, oh, I'm with MailChimp or I'm with ActiveCampaign or whatever, but that's really unique because I actually haven't really heard of people using Wix. Do you find it to be user-friendly and you like it and everything?
Like if I can figure it out, anybody can figure it out. Yeah. Yeah. What I really like about it is like once you upload your images or any links, it's all saved in there. So it's not like you have to upload all of them to all these different hosts. It's just all there. So the pictures I use for my blog, I can use in my email, which is really quite convenient.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk about lead magnets next. Obviously that's the really big thing that gets people to sign up. So could you tell us a little bit about like what kind of lead magnets you have, if you have just one or like 10 or basically a little bit of background about that, because that's obviously what's helped you grow.
Sure. So I think it's really important to have a lead magnet that is specific to your niche. Otherwise, you're not going to get the right people on your email list. And what's the point of having them? You have to pay to have people on your email list. It costs money, right? So I think it's important for any seller to just think like, what is my niche? So before I preface about what I'm going to talk about. So my freebie library is my lead magnet. So I have a variety of different handouts, play-based assessments, things on play development, really specific to the population that I want shopping in my Teachers Pay Teachers store, preschool, play-based speech language pathologists. So that's mine. And it's always growing. So I kind of like that because I can always sort of advertise the newest thing that's added with, so I don't really feel like I sound as salesy because there's a bunch of different things in there and I can kind of advertise new things as they're created.
That's awesome. It sounds like you've really niched well. Like you're not just getting all SLPs. You're like really specific to preschool and stuff. So you're going to get the exact right people on your list, which is perfect. So could you tell us a little bit about the marketing of them? Because the main thing I wanted to like a takeaway for this podcast would be for people to understand how to use Instagram really effectively to grow their email list, because that's clearly your jam. You have like this really awesome Instagram. So could you tell us a little bit about how you've leveraged Instagram for your email list?
Right. So I had quite a large following on Instagram before I started my email list, and that worked for me. So I had a pretty well-established store and my Instagram. So anytime I come up with a new handout or anything that I'm going to upload on there. I put it in my stories. I make sure to put it in a post because the people who are looking at your posts aren't always the same people looking at your stories. Yeah. And then I also send out it in my email, like, so the title can be, hey, a new freebie for you. So to keep people kind of enticed. And just because that's kind of what worked for me, having a large following on Instagram first, it doesn't mean that that's necessary. That just worked for me because people kind of already knew who I was. Whereas maybe just starting with an email list when people don't really know who you are, don't really know what you're about, or know if you're going to serve them, they might not be as excited to sign up.
Yeah. So it's that building that know, like, trust factor. They knew who you were, they liked you and they trusted you, and they might have been following you for months anyway. And then when you want to put them on the email list, they're like, sure, I like you, I'm definitely going to join. They've got that relationship.
Definitely. Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Do you have any, I know this is segueing a bit from email marketing, but just, do you have any tips in general for Instagram? Because obviously you've done really well with it. So you're obviously doing something right. So have you found any things worked really well, or have you got any ideas to share? Yeah. That would be great.
So I'll rewind a little bit about how I kind of got into TPT, and this will all go together. One night I was sitting in my parents' basement and I had some resources that I was using for my own caseload. And I was like, I might just throw these on TPT. Literally, that's what I knew about Teachers Pay Teachers. I didn't have covers. I literally knew nothing. And I put it on there. And I'm like, oh, I mean, like, maybe I should have an Instagram too. And I went on there and I was like, okay, let's just do this. I had never used social media myself. I really just figured out kind of like as I went along. I didn't take any courses. I just kind of was me. And I think that that's probably the best advice I can give, is just be yourself. Now I know a lot more about Instagram and kind of how it works, but I think the best advice I can give anyone is be you and be consistent.
Yeah.
And connect with your followers, connect with the people that are there with you. I know, like, when I send a message to someone, like, I want them to answer. Even I don't care how many followers they have. I want them to like it. I want them to engage with me. And I know, like, if you reach out a couple of times and that person doesn't get back to you, you're kind of like, well, whatever, you don't care about me. Why should I care about you? So I respond to every single DM I get.
Yeah.
And sometimes there are a lot, but I think it's important for me and for my business and kind of the way that I approach my
I think that's a really, really good piece of advice. I think, you know, there's some people get really, really big on Instagram, and then I might like react to their story or say something to them, and then they just don't really reply because I think they've got so many messages. But you do take it a little bit personally. So I do try to reply.
Yeah, you know, like, I had time to message you. Why are you so busy? Like, and it is crazy when people are like, oh my God, I can't believe you replied. I'm like, man, I'm just like a mom with two kids running a store. Like, I'm not
Taylor Swift.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know. I'm not anyone special. I just happen to have an Instagram, right? So I do think it's important. And whether that's something that you set aside every, like, what I have done for myself to save time is I just set like a half an hour a day where I just go through and do them all. I used to do them like on demand, and it was just getting to be like, it was just too much to be available to my kids and my husband and my friends and my family and everybody. So I just kind of block it that way. And it totally works.
That's perfect. But it's so important to build relationships, because I think if we just treat it like a sales platform and we're too salesy, then people don't really want to trust you as much. So you need that relationship building. Right. And I think, yeah, the messaging thing's so good. And like with comments as well, I reply to every comment, because it's like in real life, if someone waved at you and said hello, would you just ignore them?
Right. Well, I wonder, like, I've honestly wonder, like, for me, I feel like it's three. If I engage with someone three times on Instagram and they don't reply, it's like, okay, well, I'm done. And one of the tricks of Instagram is you want engagement. So you don't want people to stop engaging with you, but they will, because it's like a learned behavior, right? If people talk to you and you don't, and it doesn't even have to be a huge long thing. Like, it can just be thanks for your message or whatever, right? I remember when I reached out to Texas Speech Mom, and she had like this huge following, and I was like, oh my God, she replied. Like, I don't know what it was like, you know, like it's, yeah, it makes people feel important. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really important.
They are, because you can't do your, like, they are important. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Treat them really well, because they're your people and you want them to buy from you. So that, you know, it's a mutual respect, I guess.
Of course. Definitely. Yeah.
Before I go back to talk about email, one more thing, just because you were talking about Instagram and consistency, do you have a set number amount of times that you post or use stories or anything, roughly? Like,
how often? I use my stories every day. I don't think that since I started my Instagram almost 2 years ago that I haven't posted in my story, even if it's just like a reshare of someone else's or even a reshare of one of my old posts if I'm busy that day. As for posting to my feed, I know you're supposed to post three times a week, but I just post what feels natural. That's for me. That works for me. So yeah. Yeah. That's just kind of works for me. But that's, that doesn't mean it's going to work for everyone, but that works for me. I just feel like I can write a more passionate caption, and I can, I don't know, I just can be me. And that's always my, back to my tip, like, just be yourself, right? I don't want to just post something just because I know I'm supposed to, because anyone who knows me even a little bit, has been following, is going to know that I'm not passionate about what I'm posting. And then that's not me.
Yeah. I guess quality over quantity. And like, yeah. There's some people I follow on Instagram, these really big people, and they post like once a week, maybe even less, or like twice, or like once a fortnight, whatever. But they post something really good. So I guess that's better than posting every day and not that. Yeah.
And I tried that. Like, I did the scheduler and I tried to post like every day something, but I was like scrounging for things. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. But
yeah.
It works for some people, because I see some people's posts twice a day. So it must work.
Yeah. This, what works for you is, I guess, the important thing. Yeah.
That's right. And I think it's important to find something that you're going to be able to maintain, right? So if you're going to post every single day for a month, and then you realize, hey, this isn't sustainable, then you're not really doing yourself any favors, because you're not getting ahead and figuring out kind of your own brand and what works for you and your people.
Yeah. So I think that consistency isn't just like posting twice a week. It's about consistency in like, don't post every day and then ghost them for 3 weeks. Like, right. You know what I mean? Yeah. So
yeah. Yes, totally. Or if you can't post, you can post that you can't post, like, you know, post, I'm busy. Like, just like everybody else, I'm busy, you know?
Yeah.
And this is what I've been up to. People like to feel like they know you, right?
So. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So back to email. In terms of consistency with email, how often do you email your list?
I do email consistency. I email once a week. I think that's a good number. Yeah.
Yeah.
Once a week is like not too much. Yeah. But it's just enough so people remember you. Right.
Yes.
So I'll either email something like, oh, cause I try to blog once a week. So I'm like, oh, I have a new blog. Like if I have nothing else to say, or, oh, there's a hashtag sale, or, oh, here's some therapy tips, whatever it might be. I try to have something.
Yeah, I'm the same. I do every once a week. I feel like if you are super busy, then that's fine. You know, maybe twice a month or something's okay. But I think if you leave it to like once a month or even less,
they like forget who you are.
Yes, they will forget you. So, but I kind of think more than once a week, like doing like five times a week, might annoy people. So I haven't gotten to that point yet. I'm just not ready for that.
Right. And if I do, on the off chance, I'm like, sorry to be back here again, because I know you get 1,000 emails, and, you know, and being thankful to your email subscribers, like I always say thanks, because I'm like, really, seriously, thank you. Cause I know you're getting 5,000 emails and you're opening this, right? So I am grateful. But yeah, I think once a week is like enough. And I even just think of myself as a consumer. Like when I get, I'm like, oh, another email from, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what could you possibly have to say? Like you emailed me yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, what's new?
I'm the same as you. I send one and a week, but if for some crazy reason there's something special going on, I have to send a second one. I did one recently and I wrote like an apology and I was like, I'm so sorry.
I'm like, sorry, I know, but I subscribe to your email list. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like guilty, which is probably silly. And I, you know, but yeah, I don't want to annoy people. That's my paranoia. So.
No, right. Definitely. So
I know you've kind of already half answered this, but in general, when I was going to ask, what do you send them? But do you have, is it just kind of like you sort of wing it based on the week, or do you plan out what you're going to send? Is it, you know, different every time?
So at the beginning of the year in 2021, I sat down and I have like a calendar, and I planned out my entire month for general, or entire year for general content. So I was like, January, I'm going to kind of talk about this, and that's going to kind of guide everything that I do. So for me, it was apraxia. February, I'm going to talk about relationships. Like, so I kind of have an idea, just so that I'm not sitting down like a chicken with my head cut off, because sometimes you can get a little scattered and you're all like, you know, I can get all over the place. So I do kind of try to streamline it, but it's pretty much whatever's relevant at that time. Right. So, I mean, when the quarantine started, I tried to talk about ways that you can do teletherapy, you know, trying to keep it relevant for whatever's going on.
Yeah. I'm the same. Yeah. I think if you plan too far in advance, then when stuff like COVID happens, it just throws everything out the window, basically.
Right.
So you don't want to be too organized, but right. I'm still working on it, because I feel like sometimes I am winging it a little bit, and it would be good to have a bit of a plan, but you want to strike a balance, I guess.
Right. It is kind of, it's like, one of my biggest pet peeves is wasted time. Like, I hate it. Like, I'm very efficient. So when I sit down on my computer, I want to know exactly what I'm doing. I don't want to be sitting for 45 minutes thinking about what I'm doing. I want to know exactly. So even having like a post-it list of things that maybe you want to write about, that might help, right? Be like, oh, I want to touch base about this blog post from last year, or whatever it might be. Then when you sit down, you have an idea. So you're not just staring at a blank screen, which can happen.
The other thing I was going to mention was just about, like, in terms of your email list, like organizing your list, do you do any kind of tagging or segmenting or like sorting the list in any way? If you don't, that's okay. Or
I don't know how. I'm sure that people can. Like when people are like, I sent it to my non-opens. I'm like, that's good. I don't know how to do that. So no, I am like the least tech savvy person. Sorry, I can't be more helpful, but I know people do because they're like, you can track like who read this blog post and then send it to them. But I'm not. I just send it to everyone once a week. I don't do anything special.
Yeah. But that's kind of a good thing to hear, really, probably for the people that are new to this. They don't have to feel like, oh my God, I've now got to segment my list and do all this stuff, to know that you're doing a great job of it and you're just doing it nice and simple. That's good.
I like to keep things simple. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm the same. I just send one email a week and it's to everybody. But I think that if you've niched down enough, and you, like you have with your preschool stuff, like that you don't really need to tag people because they're all preschool SLPs or whatever. So
exactly. So if you have people on your list that are should be on your list, then everything you send should technically be applicable, right? So, I mean, and if it's not, and they will eventually get the hint that maybe they don't like, you know, and they'll unsubscribe. And, you know, I have heard people of like cleaning out their list. That's on my list of things to do, because you do pay for the number of emails you send, right? So if a quarter of your people aren't opening them ever, then there's no point of keeping them.
I only did that recently. I hadn't done that for ages. And it was kind of really cathartic. I was like, bye, getting rid of them all.
Yeah. Right. Like, why am I sending? And then email hosts decide whether you're going to get people's inboxes or their junk. Like, somebody on the internet decides that. And depending on your open rate, you're more likely to go to an inbox, right, than to the junk, even if they've subscribed. So you don't want to have a low open rate. So you want to get rid of the people who aren't your people. Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with it. Like, I unsubscribe from email lists all the time. So
yeah,
it's not a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. And in terms of, I think, tagging and stuff, I think if you cater to lots of grade levels, then maybe it would apply to you. But if you are just catering to one person, then yeah, that's not an issue. The other last thing I was going to touch on was, and though this is not really to do with Instagram, which was what we were mainly talking about, but I do know that you have a blog. So do you also use that quite well to leverage your email list? Just for people that are quite new to Instagram, they might not be able to really have a huge following yet and get subscribers from there, but they might also have a blog. So if you have any tips for getting subscribers there?
Yeah. So I have like a pop-up box that shows up as soon as you go to my website, like subscribe for freebies. And then at the bottom of every blog, I also have like a picture of some of the resources in my freebie library, and then click to subscribe. So it is on there. But I think it's important, like everything leads back to the email list, my Facebook, my Instagram, everything is, you know, to get people to your email list. Cause that's where you want to be.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So before we wrap up, do you have any final tips, any, you know, advice for anyone that's growing the email list? Because you have grown quite a big list in quite a short amount of time. So you are doing a really, really great job of it. Anything you've learned, any mistakes, any faux pas, any tips, anything?
I think pick one thing, like Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, email, whatever your one thing is going to be, and focus a lot of energy on that and product creation, and then build off of that. So like I started with only Instagram, and then I got like a year later, I got a blog and Facebook. I don't remember the exact order, and then Facebook and the email, right? Because I think trying to sit down and you're like, your head would be spinning and it would be enough to make anybody go crazy and quit, right? It's just overwhelming. So learn one thing, learn it well, build your following there, and then expand into whatever, I don't know. That's my advice. It might not be the best advice, but that worked for me.
No, that is really, really good advice, because I did the same thing. I just did TPT. I just did Pinterest. I did that for like 3 years. And then I gradually took on like Instagram and a Facebook page. And I was never overwhelmed or stressed when I first started. Not really, because I wasn't trying to do five platforms, which I can manage now. But I see so many brand new sellers that are trying to learn how to do TBT, and then they're trying to do every single other thing and they just burn out, and it's just,
and you're not doing any of them well. You're just not, because you can only spread yourself so thin, right? So you're better to show up in one area consistently and get your people there. And then, so there was like one other SLP who had this huge following on Facebook and then went to Instagram, and they all followed her over there too, right? And then got more. So, you know, once you connect with them, they'll follow you between platforms and things. So, but yeah, trying to, like, my Facebook is so, like, I don't know, I'm doing something wrong over there. It's just not my jam, and that's okay. So
yeah, that's a really good piece of advice. And I kind of think I've done that with my seller stuff. Like, I started my Instagram first and like got to know you guys and everything. And then when I launched my podcast, people actually wanted to listen to it because they knew who I was. And if I'd launched this, you know, before my Instagram and before my Facebook group and stuff, nobody would have known who I was and probably thought, who is this girl?
Right. And you're a lot more searchable when you have content. Do you, right? It's like, yes.
I like what you say about focusing on one, building it up, and then using that to like push them to the next thing and growing all these other areas. That's such good advice. I love that.
And I mean, if you want to start off with an email list, that's great, but I just think that would be really hard. I do think starting with the email list would be really challenging.
Yeah, I see a lot of people say that you should start an email list from day one, but I'm kind of like, but what do you how?
Yeah, and what do you send them? Like if you have no products in your store and no blog, like if you have nothing, what are you sending them?
Yeah, and just if you didn't have a Pinterest or an Instagram or Facebook, how would you get them to sign up? So I'm always really baffled by that advice. I kind of think you should wait a little bit.
Yeah, I've been given that advice and I didn't take it because I was like, what am I sending people?
Yeah, but I suppose you could do that. But I hear some people say you could just collect emails, but then when you do eventually send them an email, they'll be like, who is this? Because it's been like a year and I, you know.
Right.
So I don't know about that.
Yeah. And then collecting the emails too. Like I do think, like I said, the internet people who decide whether you go to inbox or junk, if you have these emails and you're sending them, you know, once a year or whatever, it might not be as successful. And then that's not good. So.
Yeah, I'm glad you agree. I'm glad it's not just me. I felt a bit crazy with that.
I know. Opinion. I thought it's because I've taken a lot of courses and gotten a lot of advice. And really, no matter what course you take or anything, you have to tailor it to what works for you.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Like even when I give advice on here, I'm like, you don't have to listen to me. Like, this is just my view. Like, we can all do our own thing, but what works for one might not work for another.
Definitely. Well, there are some girls who have tons of success and don't have an email list, don't have Pinterest, and like, they just, you know what I mean? And they just doing great.
We're all so different. Every seller is doing things so differently, and some will find success with different things in different ways. Like, and I think that's a good way to not compare yourself to other people, because none of us can be the same, like at all.
How so boring different. Would that be? So boring.
I love it. Oh, thank you so much for answering my questions. I've really enjoyed chatting to you. You are so friendly and lovely. It's been lovely chatting to you.
You too. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, thanks for having me. It was great.
I hope you have enjoyed listening to this episode. I know that I've definitely got a few takeaways that I really want to implement. So Anna mentioned some really good stuff about focusing on one thing at a time. And I think that's really, really powerful. You know, if you try to do every single thing at once, you probably won't succeed. And Anna's a clear example of someone who just threw everything into Instagram and she's killing it on there. And she's using that to grow her email list and to build up in other areas. And I think that's a really good piece of advice. I also really loved when she talked about, you know, quality over quantity kind of thing when you post on Instagram too. So I've definitely got a few things that I really want to take away from this. I really hope that you've enjoyed listening to this episode. In the show notes, I will put a link to Anna's Instagram so you can check her out. And I'll also put a link to the Facebook group, just because in my Facebook group, The Terrific Teacherpreneur, I did do a Facebook Live about email lists. That was quite a while back, but it will be in the unit somewhere. So if you are sort of really interested in starting your email list, that would be a great video to watch, because I sort of answer all the sort of frequently asked questions about setting up your email list. So if this podcast has inspired you, that might be helpful too. And that's all I wanted to share today. I really hope you've enjoyed this episode. Have a terrific day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Terrific Teacherpreneur. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Come back for more actionable tips and helpful wisdom in the next episode with your host, Alex. Until then.